Hello and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook and I'm your host for episode 420. Insert weed related joke there. Being recorded on 420 69 YouTube memes. Adam Carroll, welcome.
Hello. Nice to be back.
Yes, yeah, it's been a while, mate. It's been a while.
Who sang that song?
Stained, wasn't it?
Stained. I think we made a Stained reference recently.
I'm pretty sure you did the exact thing I just did a couple of weeks ago.
Stained should not be getting double reference.
They were the first band I ever saw live.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Chris.
Supported by Puddle of Mud.
Just for those on the audio version, Christopher White is back. I was going to use the, speaking of doubles, Chris is here 2 weeks in a row. Christopher White.
Hello.
But continue with the Stained discussion, please.
Yeah, please.
It's really not worth it.
My first gig was
almost Newfound Glory. And I would still be proud of that because I love Newfound
Glory.
That would be unreal. Yeah, but I missed out on tickets. And then they were playing.
There was no shortage of Stained tickets.
There wasn't. But we didn't even get on the ground. Not that you would want to kind of get in a mosh pit for Stained.
No.
We were sat down for quite a bit of it. But the sound, it was good for a first concert because it's in an arena, but looking back, I'm not proud.
Is that during the Break the Cycle tour with that song on it? It's been a while and outside.
Yeah, it was because Puddle of Mud, they were doing, Blurry. It was that album. They had another song, but I can't even remember what it was.
This is far too much Stained discussion for my liking.
I'm sorry.
Because we have to talk about video games because there has been a brief window here into stopping us playing one of a million different games that are embargoed or aren't embargoed anymore. I'm afraid to breathe right now, quite frankly, the amount of embargoes I'm under, but I'm going to brave it because we're here to talk games because, as we've said, I'm allowed to say it now, we have the PlayStation 5, we have the Xbox Series X. In fact, look at this. I can show you both the controllers right away on the video version. Look at that. Woo, great. Now we can talk about games that we can actually talk about. So, with that out of the way, and more to come, Christopher White.
Yes.
What have you been playing that you can talk about? And this is going to be one of those weeks, I'm afraid, where it is a lot of, we can't talk about that, but what have you? What can you talk about?
Do you know what? There are two games I would like to talk about that I have played and are out and off embargo, free to discuss.
Blimey.
So one of them is Pacer.
Okay, yep.
Which is from a studio called R8, and they a lot of the guys on that team were from who made the Wipeout series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essentially an anti-gravity racer, very much in the same vein. Like if you've seen trailers of it or whatnot, you'll know that they wear the kind of inspirations and influences on the sleeves. But it's a lot of fun. It's very much like Wipeout. Like you're tazzing around tracks, futuristic tracks of all kinds. There's some different kind of styles of tracks, but it all feels very similar. But the racing's excellent, but it's hard to distinguish it from those kind of games. Mm. It's not a bad thing because, I mean, the Wipeout collection that came out a few years ago reminds you just how good they were.
I'm terrible at Wipeout.
Everyone is.
I'm just terrible. I cannot play that
weird
game well.
There's a weird because the main thing of it is a career mode where you go through different kind of competitions and you pick different teams and they all offer you more credits for completing certain tasks. So for example, if you get gold medals in each race, then you'll succeed in earning stuff for your craft is what they're called.
Mm.
Or if you refrain from using weapons, you also get more cred because they're like an upstanding team of they don't want that kind of thing associated with their brand. But the main gist of it is
you get your politics out of my Wipeout style racing games.
But you can upgrade your craft. There's different types. It's still this familiar kind of skill levels, and stats where you've got on handling, engine power, and all that jazz. And then you've got weapons that you can use, and the weapons are fine. You've got cannons, lasers, you've got something called a tether, which you connect to another craft that's near you, and you can drain their shield and refill your own.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different kind of race types as well. And that's where it's a lot of fun. There's one race called Flowmentum. And after each race, your car goes faster. So
there's a mode similar to that in Wipeout, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like zones, it gets fast, getting to the point where you literally cannot move without crashing.
Yeah, it's mental.
Yeah.
And then there's one called Storm, which it's a weird take on like a battle royale, to be honest, where there's like this big dome that kind of follows the track, and you need to stay within that dome as you go around. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in first place, because that dome might not necessarily mean that it's not like hovering over like first place. It's kind of in, so you just have to stay in that. But then when there's all this other shit kicking off with weapons flying and this big orange dome flashing, like it's really like detailed, and the graphics are excellent. And
what score did you give it? I can't remember. There's been that many reviews gone up recently. Don't tell me you can't, having just...
I think it was... I don't know, mate. There's so much...
I want to say 8.5.
I've got a feeling it was 8 or 8.5.
Okay.
I think it might have been 8. Like,
I'm tapping it in right now.
It's good fun. And like, you can, if you don't, like, if you struggle in career mode, which you will, because that's what I was doing. I talked about the difficulty spike.
Mm.
So you go from like the first few races, the first few tournaments where you're doing pretty well, you're crafting, and all of a sudden it ramps
up. 8, by the way, 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it ramps it up and it's like insane. So if you struggle in there, you can go into quick play where you can choose like the speed at which you're racing and the kind of classic. So like you're 50cc, 100cc, and 150 in Mario, that kind of thing.
Right.
You could choose what kind of mode you do, how many racers you race against, what track, whether you want to play it night and day, whether the course is mirrored. And some things are kind of locked behind the in-game currency, but it's dead easy to earn. You can earn it through every mode you play in, basically. And then you've got the online where you'll be just shat on because everyone's better than you. But no, right, so pace is good fun, so I enjoyed that.
Okay.
And then the other game I wanted to talk about was Amnesia.
Rebirth. I am keen to hear about this.
So is this what is this? Is it a remake? Because I don't play the series. Is this a remake or is it like a...
It's kind of like it's not a direct follow-on, but it follows on from The Dark Descent. So the one that came out that was done by the Chinese Room, which I can't remember what it was. I'm getting it confused with a song by Black Sabbath. Is it a machine for pigs? Yeah, there we go. So it's nothing to do with that. But it kind of it follows on from the Dark Descent, but you don't need to have played it to kind of get what's going on. And what they do really well, the developers, is they create like genuine fear from darkness. That's always kind of been the gist of it. And whilst there are kind of like these things called ghouls which do pop up as you progress through the game, it's more about the little sound you hear or the rattling of like cockroaches under your feet or like bits of stone falling off the walls and like things like shaking in the distance. And I played it all through my headphones, which I do at the minute with PC games because it's better anyway. And you can hear every little kind of sound, and it's
brave though.
It's terrifying. And like the kind of story is really good as well. It's very clever. Like a lot of horror stories for horror games, they're kind of a bit throwaway. They're not the main draw of the game. It's about being scared or the blood or whatever. Like, but this is a really clever story about this young girl who loses a memory, obviously, because it's called Amnesia, after a plane crash into Sahara Desert. And she has to kind of find out where she is and what's going on. And she finds out very early on that shit has gone horribly wrong. And there's a storyline that involves her daughter and her husband. And it's just, it's great. I mean, there's little mechanics to it to kind of find light, you can find like little matches scattered around.
Yeah.
But they're in short supply. And when you pick up a match and you light it, it's kind of gone out within 5 or 6 seconds, and then if you run, it's gone out instantly. You can find a lantern later on where you can refill that with oil, and whilst you can hold that and run around because it's protected by a lantern, it'll still, the oil runs out quite fast, so you have to kind of be tactical about when and how you use the light. And if you stay in the dark too long, you start to get scared, and like this, with these weird black kind of lines appear on the screen, like kind of like symbiote tendrils like from Venom.
Oh.
and you kind of have a blackout, and then you don't die, but you collapse, and then you have to restart the area. So you have to be really smart with your lighting. And also, like, once you've lit somewhere and you're kind of exploring, you can kind of set a path for yourself of where to, like, look around and stuff.
So who made this? Because it's not Bloober Team, is it?
Frictional Games.
Yeah. Okay, because there's sort of, it seems to be them that make this, and then is it Blooper or Bloober Team that make a lot of the, like, Layers of Fear, and they're the one making that.
Yeah. Blair Witch.
What's that one they're making now? The new one. No, not Returnal. The next gen game. Medium. Yeah. But it's not them.
Frictional did Soma.
Yeah.
Okay, which again, everyone seemed to like. There does seem to be like a handful of these devs doing this. Does that make sense? Descent.
Yeah. I mean, they've taken a kind of popular horror series and done, like, they've managed to keep what made the original good, and I feel like they've improved it. And, like, there's not, right. I don't know what people might expect, more monsters and more kind of kind of interaction with the big bad and stuff like that, but it whilst it does give you that every now and again, there are periods where it kind of lulls a bit, but in general, like, that fear kind of stays with you for the majority of the time.
I feel like this series is all about atmosphere again. I think a lot of that is in horror games now. It's just, it's about the atmosphere. Jump scares are, I don't know, jump scares even in movies are just boring at this stage, aren't they? Like,
yeah,
the typical...
No, I think the last time a game succeeded with jump scares properly was Until Dawn.
See, it's funny. We could leap ahead a bit to one of the games I've been playing there, because Little Hope. We may as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We're talking horror games. So Little Hope is the Dark Pictures anthology.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two, I guess. The second one, the people who made Until Dawn, as you say. Yeah, we might as well get into it then. So this is far more like Until Dawn, and to me, far less like Man of Medan, which I just bounced off almost instantly.
Well, I am happy to hear that line alone.
It starts in the dark. In fact, I've played 2 and a bit hours. I haven't yet seen daylight, which is, to me, kind of... And do you know the game I get the biggest vibe? And I haven't finished it. All 2 hours, I would suggest. There must be... They're not like 10 or 12-hour games,
no,
are they?
No,
so I would imagine there must be a decent... Not halfway, but I would say the game that it reminds me the most of is Silent Hill. I mean, there is literally a fog in this game that is kind of forcing you a certain way. And it's been a long time since I played Silent Hill, but wasn't that what the fog was doing in Silent Hill? It was restricting you. I mean, it was a technical thing to stop people being able to see what they didn't want to
see.
Which
one? Like, in Silent Hill
the original one, like the fog. Wasn't it deliberately trying to make you go a certain way? Yeah, exactly.
Possibly. I can't confirm that I ever thought that.
But talking of jump scares, this game's... And I wonder if it does this the whole way through. Because this game's got like a repeating jump scare. But you know... You ever seen one of those videos where you get your phone and someone's watching it and it's like, suddenly that in your face. It does that, like, I think I've done eight, nine times in the first 2 hours. And it's the same thing, and you know it's coming. So what I started doing now is I'll be playing it with the controller like this, and I see it, and I'll just go... And for those listening, I just shut my eyes and look the other way because I know it's coming and I'll still hear it, but I know I'm not seeing it because it is that thing where it's right up in your face. I'm sure Chris will speak about this more in the next episode, right? But Chris, you could speak about it right now. You're here. But Chris Hyde was speaking. He reviewed it, and he says from what I gather from his review, the story, it sticks the landing. And that was one of the things, because we were playing multiplayer together. For me, it kind of has to, because there's so much mystery and kind of bullshit, horror bullshit, you know? But I really like it. It's incredibly dark, by the way. And again, I think the source material works a bit better because it's...
In terms of dark light or story?
Yeah, both. Well, I mean, it's pretty dark. The story seems pretty dark. Good mix of age groups in there. Well acted. Some of the dialogue, maybe, like I say, Chris has played more and he seemed to think it was fine, but some of the dialogue I think is a bit hokey, and I think the biggest thing about, I think, and this is where like Amnesia goes one path and I think Little Hope and Until Dawn style go the other way, so for me, you have to kind of give yourself to the Supermassive style and know that it's kind of going for that almost teen schlocky horror, which this isn't teen, but you know what I mean? It's going
for that. It's the slasher of video games.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have to either be okay with that or it's just not going to work for you, because you will be there literally pulling the threads apart going, this is silly, this is silly. And if you can't just go, look, I'm here for the ride, don't bother. But for me, I bounced off Man of Medan like...
Man of Medan within an hour. Great.
Well, I just thought the intro was bad. The sort of in the past intro, and then when you go back to daylight, the boat stuff I thought was bad, and then it's just like I never went back to it. Whereas this instantly feels, it has a feel of, there just feels like so much more mystery that I want to unravel and see. And I, you know, I would like to see the end of it. And do you know what? I quite like playing it in co-op. That was fun. That I like that you can do that. But yeah, Little Hope review on the site, Amnesia review on the site, Pacer review on the site. Chris, was there anything else? Sorry, I didn't want to mean to cut you off your Amnesia.
No, that's fine, mate. I will restrict from talking about the reviews because I'm not... there's quite a bit coming out.
There's a lot.
That I can't.
Yeah.
However, I just wanted to touch upon, because I know Adam Carroll's played this. I tried Dead by Daylight for the first time.
Okay.
The other day. And with it being Halloween, I thought I'd just mention it. It seems to have come on a hell of a lot since I heard about it the first time. Like... we've all played like Friday the 13th, which is great. Mm-hmm. This is really cool. I really enjoyed it. I think that what they've done with like cross play and all that, like you load into a game relatively fast. They've added so many different kind of characters. There's new maps as well. Like I think I'm just assuming last year it came out, but there's Stranger Things stuff that's come out to it, where you can go and play under Hawkins. In the underground laboratory, and you can fight a Demogorgon. Like, it's amazing. And I don't know a lot of people that play it, so I've been playing with kind of people I don't know. And which, whilst it's still good, there's a lot of kind of teamwork elements, isn't there? Because you have to start the generators and stuff. So
start generators, Like the community is definitely there for us, considering the content that they're dishing out with regarding like Evil Dead, Silent Hill, Stranger Things, Nightmare on Elm Street, it's all there. The game is actually itself, it's actually quite challenging. And like, it's not like Friday the 13th. Now, to be fair, Friday the 13th had to obviously not continue its development. So when you go into Friday, you could play Friday right now and then go back to it a year later and you'll never be behind. Yeah. Not the same in Dead by Daylight, but Dead by Daylight requires that, like, oh yeah, the way we work together and the skill and stuff. And When it all works, it's brilliant, and it's fucking scary enough. Like when it's coming after you, I'm panicking. Like,
oh, I shit myself. Our first game was against it was in some hotel, and it was Ghostface. So like the first time I saw his face just a bit, I just shit myself. But there's like Leatherface as well, and there's as you say, Freddy and Michael Myers and. And then they've got like loads of their own stuff, which is really cool as well. Like they've got a lot of backstories that you can read on about their own characters. So they've put a lot of work in it. It's a proper like love letter to classic horror films. Like, so I'm really, really into it. I won't be playing it much, but I'll hopefully get something around.
I'm really into it. I won't be playing it.
Yeah.
You haven't got time, in fairness.
Not the time, no.
Yeah, it's not
It's a good little game to play this Halloween if people are trying to look for something and they want to play.
What was that, Dead by Daylight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just typing it in. I haven't actually heard much about it. Have you, because before we move off you, well, maybe I just didn't notice, but at the risk of sort of rattling through games, you started Ghost Runner, right?
Oh, yeah.
How much did you...
Oh, don't know. I played about an hour and a half, but how far I got, I don't know. So
I feel like, without Mick here, who scored it like 9 out of 10, it feels a bit harsh, but then I don't... I'm just intrigued as to what you think of it so far, because you're playing on PC. Yeah. Now, were you on PC? You're PC, weren't you? Yeah, I think we all were pre-release.
Yeah.
Mouse and keyboard, or did you go joystick?
Controller, yeah.
So I didn't find out that Mick was playing... controller until the review went up, and he literally said in the review, you know, that he was. I don't know how the hell you play that like that, because I found it hard. I don't like this game very much, and it annoys me that I don't like it, because it's exactly in my wheelhouse, and I think anyone who watched a video review or this would go, oh, Adam, he would like that a lot. And I did at first. I feel it cheats. And I'm interested to hear what other people say. Like,
I know, because I remember you saying about that to me, and you're right. Yeah. I think, like, right from like 5 minutes in, you die and like.
Well, should we explain what it is? I mean, I will have some footage on screen for people watching, but basically, it's a first-person platformer, like lightning fast, and you've got a katana that you use, and it's one hit, one kill for enemies, and one hit, one kill for you. And you're wall running Titanfall style, and it becomes combat puzzles essentially, and it's really, really cool. The cyberpunk aesthetic, the music, everything about this game is cool. But I feel like the enemies cheat. Like, I feel like I can land, and of course you're controlling the movement, so where you land is where you land, where you randomly land, and the enemies will almost, like, as if they're facing away from you, suddenly be facing towards you, and their bullets sort kind of always go where you are, not where you've been. And the speed you're moving at, I feel like they shouldn't be able to shoot where you're going to be or where you are. It should be almost easy to dodge. And I suppose game mechanic wise that wouldn't be much difficult, but there's something about it just feels too hard, in as much as that there's no way you could do these runs first time. You have to die to work out the optimal route. Like, you can be platforming and actually end up too high because you're too quick, which says to me the levels aren't exactly perfectly designed. Like, I just feel like it's not so much it's too hard, it's that it's just trial and error, the video game. Like, there is so much trial and error in this, and it loads quickly. Like, it's instantly reloads your checkpoints.
No, you're right. There's like a level where you're like in this big kind of warehouse, and there's like two platforms. There's like one, I don't know why, people that are listening,
there's a video, it's podcast like on youtube.com,
two platforms quite a distance away, and then you've got two of those walls that you will run up.
Yep.
And like, the amount of times I kept dying because I couldn't, like, I would get to the end of this wall, then I'd jump, but then it wouldn't jump, I'd fall. Or I'd jump and jump too high for the next one, and then over jump, and then just completely fall every time. So there is a lot of like awkwardness in the kind of,
like, did you,
platforming.
Did you get as far as the enemies where you have to, they're shielded?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. Am I getting old? Do you know what I mean?
I've got a feeling. No, I've got a feeling that there's going to be people with better reflexes than us.
Yeah, but I also think there's people who are going to complete this game in about 35 seconds. Yeah. Like, I get the feeling that the levels you could complete each one probably in under 2 minutes easily if you were like young and agile on the control. I really do think people will thrash this game and speed runs.
Oh, absolutely.
But I won't. I can't. I just can't.
No, but it's. I mean, it's as you say, it's designed well. It's just like, it looks well and looks good.
It does nothing wrong. I do not like the idea that it feels like the enemies are cheating. But that is something you can get your head around. I certainly can understand mixed score, like, totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
It didn't feel like fun to me. Mm. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah.
Definitely does. Was fun.
Adam Carroll, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been playing a mishmash of games, but I'd say, because I'm just fucking waiting for the new bits and bobs to come out.
Yes.
But as it stands, we had the Nintendo Direct, a mini Direct.
Yeah. And Nintendo Cloud Gaming is a thing, apparently.
Can I just... This thing. This moment, I don't know, this isn't what I played, but I was totally baffled by the control news. Like, I can't see that game running well on Switch.
Well, it's streaming, isn't it? It's basically, this is their... So they tested this 2 years ago in Japan with Resident Evil 7 and then Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And it didn't even have a name. It was just whatever. Now it's come here, and the Hitman 3 is going to be on this as well next year when it comes out. I mean, I don't find the Wi-Fi in the Switch very good. Like, I don't, you know, I download, not to be like, look at me, I'm a games journalist, but I download a lot of video games, and I always find that with the Switch, it's like, okay, I'm just going to set this downloading, just put it down there, because it's going to be a while. And they're not exactly big games on Switch. Whereas other services, you know, like PlayStation Network can be finicky. Xbox is usually pretty good, and Steam kills it, and so does Epic Game Store. But Switch is always like, put it down, walk away. So assuming this stands up, so the idea is basically you have to play 5 minutes of the 10-minute free demo, okay? Because in those 5 minutes, it's going to work out if your internet can handle this. And it, so you can't even buy it until you can be sure that you can. And that's smart. And then when you do buy it, you get like 180 days of owning it. And then there's two versions of Control. One is it's got ray tracing and it's 30 frames per second. And then one is, it's basically, you know, you want a PS4 Pro whatever you, or an Xbox, you could choose between performance mode and fidelity. It's that, essentially. So you can, you can choose the ray tracing, 30 frames, high definition thing, or you can play it in performance mode where it'll be 60 frames or up to 60 frames, but it will drop some of those ray tracing and bits and bobs. So it's basically streaming off a PC.
That's the game they...
No, that's a good
call. But I don't know why that's the game they chose.
Weird choice,
Like, that game ran pretty messy for me, unfortunately, on a base PS4, like Switch. I just don't know. But anyway, that was there, and I was like, cool, okay, we got No More Heroes 1 and 2 is coming out, and release date for 3. We got Bravely Default 2, some other bits and bobs. But then, out of nowhere, Nintendo say, here's a Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity demo.
Now, I just want to say, what you say here hinges, may be what I hinge my purchase choice on, because I don't like Musou games, but I very much like Zelda games. And I thought Hyrule, what was Hyrule Warriors before, right? That was what they released.
Yeah, it was just called Hyrule Warriors.
I thought that was okay. One of the better ones because it had the Zelda in it. But because of the amount of games I'm covering for the site at the moment, what you say now is, this is how important it is based on this demo. What's this game called, for starters? Oh, I've stumped you straight away, haven't I?
Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity.
Okay.
Is where we're at here now. And this is set 100 years before the events of Breath of the Wild. And it basically depicts the Great Calamity and that war that was all there. So that idea alone, for me, sounds pretty cool. I'm with you in the fact that I don't really have much, like, knowledge of this kind of genre of game. I have played the first Hyrule Warriors. I've played probably one Dynasty Warriors, God knows what number, but one of them was played for a bit. And they're cool. They're cool. They're cool. But, like, obviously, it's all about the skill and the combo builds that people get the kick off of. So going into this demo, I was like, well, fuck it, this is Zelda straight off. I'm definitely playing it.
Yeah.
It gives you the entire first chapter of the game, which what I've played now, I've played the whole thing. And I've got, I'd say, over an hour of the game on that demo played. And, like, your progress obviously continues on, and when you get, if you decide to buy the full game, which is pretty cool. I think so far from what I played, I am sold. I think if it isn't your type of style, if it isn't the type of game you enjoy, that style, then I understand. But if you did love Breath of the Wild, especially Breath of the Wild, and then just like Zelda as well, I feel like you're gonna play it, but like, so let me think. You know, without spoiling stuff, you can play a lot of characters, a lot of different characters here. In the demo, I got to play as Link, Zelda, and Impa, and she is by far the coolest. Like, the moves that she can do are insane.
Impa,
and this is the thing. Like, yeah. Like, for me, going into this kind of style of game, like, you're running, there's just thousands of fucking enemies, and you're just slashing and bashing the button, and you're like, whoa. Yep. But there is quite a bit of skill to it. I think playing as Link is rather interesting, because he is very strong in this.
Okay.
And it's kind of bizarre. It's bizarre to play it. It's not bizarre, but playing as Link in the world of Breath of the Wild, and the same art style, it just feels a bit strange when he's like tearing along and just flying into the air and stuff like that. But using your Sheikah Slate for all the special abilities and combos and stuff like that, that all works really well.
But I thought it was a prequel.
The frame rate does. Yeah, it is, boss.
But has he got the Sheikah Slate and stuff? Oh, okay. Is it?
Is that really like, it's like, unless you play the demo, if you haven't played the demo, it'll be a spoiler, but there's something that right. they go for.
So I
and I'm
yeah,
like, okay. Yeah, you just need to play it. Okay. You'll see. I think playing as Zelda was really cool as well. Like, as I said, it's a matter of finding the combos. Now, the cool thing here is that you can switch from each character on the fly by just pressing up on the D-pad, and you can just change to the next character wherever they are in the battlefield. Now, that's great. It flows really well. It's very smooth. Thing about it is, there's a certain early mission. I think it's like the second mission, chapter one. And I hope, but knowing the style of game, it'll probably have quite a few of these. I had to guide Zelda to a certain area. So just imagine this style of game with the enemies.
I mean,
I'm
imagining this. I'm pretty sure they do this exact thing in Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, and you're guiding Zelda as she's just running along, and you're like, okay. And then you might change character to her, and you're like, where is she? And she's just stuck in a corner, just getting fucking hammered by enemies.
Yeah, it's the Musou game.
Oh, so you have to play her and get her out of the situation. Yep. Small little gripes like that. But yep. I think going off of the first Hyrule Warriors, this is a big step up already. Okay. Like, it opens up the entire map, and you can go all around the place and stuff again. And you collect Korok seeds. All these things are in there.
I think I need to play this demo, because I can't work out how all this stuff you're saying works, given that it's a prequel. But like you said, it sounds like something I just need to go and play. There are probably people listening who played this who are screaming at the podcast going, shut up, you know, but so I will.
Yeah, and I do think, like, the cutscenes alone immediately are super interesting. Like, I don't know if you've noticed the artwork, but there's the small little dude.
I haven't seen much on this game, so I can't honestly say I have.
Okay, see, I don't want to find there either, but like, there's a little charm.
Green, small green dude from a previous game.
No, he's on beginning the artwork. With, I'm not
beginning with T.
No.
Okay, forget it then.
Leave it off. But either way, it starts
worst
off
game of catchphrase
very
I've
strong.
Ever fucking played. That is.
There's just a lot of cool shit going on. There's a lot of cool shit going on here. I don't feel like this is just like, oh, here, look, have this kind of game. It's set with this skin and off you go. It has some cool shit. I think, like, there's a good few. It might get repetitive. Who knows?
It will. It's a Musou game. Just,
yeah. But I feel with the amount of characters you're able to use all the time and the variety that's there, because there is apparently a shit ton. Like, there's a lot of, like, you can play as all the champions and stuff and everything. So
it's a lot of it.
To me, that's all. Yeah, there's a lot of it. And like, it is coming out on, is it the day after the PS5 launch?
I know it's near then.
Like, it's the
20th
of November.
There's a lot of video games. Like, I'm stressed in a way I don't think I've ever been in 10 years. And there's a lot of video games. And I'm not moaning, because there are people who are probably just like saying, fuck you. I mean, I was waiting for someone like to make the joke of, look, the Phil Spencer thing where he was like, and he had the Xbox Series S in the background all the time. I'm waiting for someone to make the joke about the radiator down there, because it's kind of like, but that's not it. Imagine if it was. It's not.
But look, I think everyone, you should try it. You should definitely try this demo. Give it a shot. And you're correct, Adam Cook. The level of games that are coming out are crazy. I started a new game of Skyrim, and as soon as Skyrim came up on the screen,
Now people are telling you to fuck off, because all the games coming and you've gone Skyrim again.
I have to admit something here, right? I think I may have said this before. The reason I did Skyrim again. I've bought Skyrim on every console, okay? I'm going to try it.
Everyone has. That's why they keep doing it.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. No, I'm not alone in saying this, I'd say, but I've never finished Skyrim.
No, nor I.
And
you're not going to now.
Stop. That was my goal for 2020.
Well, I'm sorry to be the one to break this to you, but the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X are out in less than 2 weeks at the time this goes out.
Surely Skyrim will come out on day one.
Oh, I hope not.
That's actually true. Well, it won't be day one, but it will definitely. Well, we had this discussion.
Chris, if Skyrim comes out on day one, I'll buy you a copy.
He won't play it, so you can buy him it all you want. He's got too much to play as it is.
Is it going to come out on PS5 with the whole Bethesda deal?
If it comes out, it will. Think it'll be funny.
It will, because you'll be able to play backwards compatibility, won't you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So technically, yeah. Will it come out native PS5? I expect so. They like
Jesus,
money.
Like I'll actually be quite devastated if Skyrim comes out all looking like you know, remastered and shit, and I'm after going out of my way to fucking finishing for the first time.
Play it on Vita.
I'd rather them just focus on the new one.
Ah, that ain't coming
stop
out for...
sending out fucking clips of text saying The Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anything else?
Yeah. I started Phantom Pain again.
So no then.
Fucking hell. That's amazing.
Great game. Yeah, great game.
Yeah.
What a game. Yeah. What a game.
Never finished it.
First off, top draw. First off is great. And then it's just fucking stupid.
Ah, oh, look, I actually just shooting the lads up into the air is brilliant. It always will be.
Oh, it's like amazing. I just think he really fucked it with the second half, and it's just like I love Kojima, but he fucking wasted time.
Making a new game, apparently.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
No,
what's all this Death Stranding 2 business going around? Is he making
sense?
No, I hope not.
I found that I forget if we posted it on the site or not, but one way or another, there was a PR blast sent about Kojima Productions. They're making a new game. And I don't think I've ever seen another studio send a blast out that's basically, we're making another game. And I was like, oh, God. And I was like, saw that. And I was like, wow, fucking hell, hang on. I stopped what I was doing to read this. And then it lists like, all like 12 positions they're hiring for, like they're making another game, is like saying tomorrow the sun will rise in the sun, you know, in the summer. Like it's like it was the most,
yeah,
like it's cool, you do you if you want to make a big deal, but there's nothing to make a big deal about. Like that's literally like I mean, it was more shocking than when Sony went, there's a God of War 2 or Ragnarok, and we all suspected it. Same with Horizon. But that was more shocking than Kojima Productions, who have just started their studio and made a game going, we're going to do another one. You know?
What would be, Adam Cook, what would be your response if it was Death Stranding 2? It would clearly be your game of the year.
Well, look, he kind of predicted the future. So I've got to give him something, hasn't I? You know, a dystopian world where we all live underground and aren't allowed to be speaking in person. So, I mean...
Death Stranding 2 comes out and the only real big change is that you have to walk backwards.
I would play Death Stranding 2. Right, this is... Okay, look, right, okay. Now we're in... You've done this, Adam Carroll. You did this. Just make it aware. I didn't start this.
Listen,
you did.
You text me constantly when you played that first game. Yes. I know how much you love it.
Yes, absolutely. And there's hours upon hours of podcasting. I would play Death Stranding 2, but only if the main character is the other brother from The Walking Dead. And I'm in. What's his name? The other lad.
Michael Rooker.
Yes, Rooker.
Oh.
That would be amazing. Actually amazing.
And what? He just walks on and does his business as well?
No, it's the exact same story. Exact same story. And
the exact same game?
Yeah, but it's Michael Rooker instead.
So you'd play the new Death Stranding if it was the exact same game, but just with Michael Rooker in it?
Yes.
I think you need to send that to Kojima, because he'd be like, grind, there, it's done.
Yeah. Or if Jeff Keighley plays the lead character.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
No, hang on. So it's Rooker. And the Monster energy drink is replaced with Red Bull energy drink. So it's like he can come out and go, no, you see, I'm a genius and the subtle differences. Woo! Or, no, hang on, scrap all of that. I want Kojima to make Garth Marenghi's Dark Place the game. A woman. You guys haven't seen that. You should watch that. Video games. What were we talking about? Video games. Before we get to one news story I want to talk about this week, I should mention that I have been playing the PlayStation 5, and I'm allowed to talk about the Cooling Springs level of Astro's Playroom. And that is it. That is literally all I can talk to you about. So if either of you have any questions about specifically the Cooling Springs level of Astro's Playroom and the PlayStation 5's feel whilst playing the Cooling Springs level of Astro's Playroom.
Yeah, I would like to know. Because Astro bought the other one.
Yes.
It was fantastic. So
it was, yes.
So are we getting something that in this one level?
Well, Chris, I can only talk about Cooling Springs.
Yes. So Cooling Springs, how is that level?
It's very fun. It's like it's like an Astro's playroom, if you will, but one level of it. So it's actually there's actually kind of like four sections of the level. This specific level, Cooling Springs of Astro's Playroom, very much feels designed to show you how the what are they called? Responsive? No, no, adaptive triggers. Adaptive triggers. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not something I can even show with one in my hand, like the triggers. So it creates a resistance. Do you remember the GameCube controller? When you could you put your triggers down,
and
there was a tiny little bit at the end. So that's here. But it per game or I assume, I don't know. I mean, perhaps it's only in this Astro's Playroom Cooling Springs level, and it will never be used again. But the technology in that level, Cooling Springs of Astro's Playroom, basically you get into like a little suit. You as Astro get into this little suit, you zip it up with the touchpad, you know, zoop, and he jumps in, and now you're motion controlling which way you go, literally like I'm doing on screen. You know, you lean left by leaning left, and you hold the trigger down, right trigger, or R2, and it's like a spring is being compressed, so the further you get, the more resistance you get, and then it goes, you know. So if you just flick it, it goes boing. But if you, and it's in the video, this is all in the video I put on youtube.com/godisgeek, subscribe, like, and comment, and hit the bell. You're watching it, so just do it anyway. But yeah, like, so the more you, what it made me think, right, is how interested I'll be to see if this technology exists outside of Astro's Playroom's Cooling Springs level.
Good
because
job.
The immediate thought I had, and this isn't any kind of embargo thing because I haven't played it, is I was thinking about the quiver on a bow in Horizon Forbidden West, and how cool that would be.
Yeah.
But the other thing is also, and I don't know how it works, and I don't mean to keep holding it up, but so, like, you know, the HD rumble in a Switch, like there was that game, Chris, do you remember we played at the preview event, once you switch, where you had to like guess how many balls were in the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine that, but like fucking ratcheted up a notch to something. So in this, like, there's a part in that level, Cooling Springs of Astro's Playroom, where you're running into like a sand being blown at you, and the only way I can describe it is it feels like walking into a sandstorm would feel. Like, it feels gritty.
Wow.
The controller feels gritty. The vibration and the wind's coming out of it, and it's just it. Like I say, it sounds mental, but it sounds feels gritty.
Yeah.
And each surface you walk on in Cooling Springs of Astro's Playroom, and only that level is textured in a way, like you can feel if you're on sand or you're on it sounds like magic, because I've never really experienced anything like it, and it's certainly something that's very exciting. Because I mean, I've seen comments from other media who've said like, this is the real next generation. It's like, it's very cool that in that particular use in Cooling Springs of Astro's Playroom, and it genuinely, like, it is one of those where I want to see other people's reactions. Do you know what I mean? I want to, because I should have filmed myself, because the first time I did it, it was genuinely like, oh my god, this is weird, but also something that becomes in this level natural. Like, you almost think, yeah, this makes sense. Why has no one done this? And it's very exciting, and it certainly bodes well for playing perhaps, I don't know, more of Astro's Playroom outside of Cooling Springs, but that's not what we're talking about here, and perhaps other games. I don't know. It's exciting enough that I'd be interesting to see if when you get a game, and again, I haven't played Dirt 5 on PS5, get used to that. I haven't played it. I'd be really interested to see if a third-party game like Dirt 5 makes use of the adaptive triggers.
Yeah.
Because it can't on other platforms like an Xbox One or PS4 or PC, because they're not there. I'll be really interested to see if, like, Codemasters have done that. I mean, I don't have it on PS5, so I can't answer that. I would like to know, though. I hope someone can find out, or hopefully I can get to play it. It's really exciting. Really exciting, and as for the game itself, or the Cooling Springs level, Chris, it's exactly what you'd expect in terms of Astrobot. What was the previous game called? Astrobot.
Astrobot.
The VR one.
was Astrobot Rescue Mission,
I think, yeah. it's exactly what you'd expect. Like, it is... Like, I think they've actually, you know, based on that VR game and Cooling Springs, I think they've got a good little mascot here, you know?
Yeah.
I actually think they have...
They've finally done something with
it. Yeah, in the platformer game space. Like, they're not difficult.
Who was their last mascot? Sackboy?
Oh, of course, possibly. Forgot about Sackboy, yeah.
Yeah, quite possibly.
But I don't feel like Sackboy as a series, Little Big Planet, ever fully clicked with the wider public. No. Not in a way that like Mario did. But then I would also say so like Super Lucky's Tale, like they keep putting that out of game and rejigging it. And that's a good game, right? Mm. Good game. But I feel like Astrobot or Astro or whatever the franchise is, Astrobot, I guess,
yeah,
has so much more charm. And I, you know, Astro's Playroom, the Cooling Springs level is like a celebration of the PlayStation 3 era. So like you are unlocking things that are like, there's literally a PlayStation 3, you know, the PS, what was it called? The PlayStation Eye camera back then, I think.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So it is like a nostalgia sort of buzz. And they couldn't do that every game, you know, that at some point that, but then I don't think they did with Astrobot's Rescue Mission. I don't feel like, I think there was some nostalgia, but like in Cooling Springs, you literally run across, do you remember the ducks from the PS3 demo that they showed off at E3 that year? Like, there's literally ducks and it made me chuckle. It was like, yeah, well played, you know. But I don't feel like the VR one did that.
The Playroom came out with PS4?
Yes, it was.
Right, so.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, so it just came out. It's not a game though, is it? It's just like some app that you can interact with. And then Rescue Mission just kind of came out during the PS4's life cycle. And I wouldn't say it was massively pushed because it was VR. However, this one is... correct me if I'm wrong, but is it not coming with every PS5? I had a feeling I heard that it was
I believe I can say that it is literally pre-installed on PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I think they've announced... Yeah,
I'm almost 100% certain, and if I am wrong, this will not be in the final edit of the podcast, but I am almost certain they have announced it is a pre-installed...
I think they have announced it, that's how I knew. Yeah. That's a full game of it. That means...
Yes, it has trophies and everything. Like, it is a game. It's a video game.
...are going to have access to it.
Yes.
So it's a game that's been pre-installed. It's not some fancy like idea. It's an actual game that hopefully will build on what Rescue Mission did. So.
But side note, do you remember when games used to come with consoles, like when Wii Sports came with the Wii?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Good idea. I would imagine that people respond quite well to there being a game pre-installed on their PlayStation 5. Mm. But yeah, like I hate to feel like I have hardly talked about the Cooling Springs level here, but not to be like hyperbole over the top, like the controller in that level really does make you go, wait, I wasn't expecting this. And I said it in the video, like I wasn't expecting to be quite this level of, I mean, you want something, you know, whether I'm talking about the Series X or the PS5, you want there to be something that makes you go, wow, because you're paying a lot of money for these things. I wasn't expecting the controller to make me feel like that quickly. And I am very excited to play more of Astrobot outside of the Cooling Springs level. And that's all I'm going to say there because I'm going to end up getting myself in a tongue twister. So before we get out of here for a week, I just wanted to touch upon Cyberpunk 2077 because the game's been delayed.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Bake Off.
First things first, if you're listening and you've sent a death threat to them, don't listen anymore. Go away. That's just like, games mean a lot to people, they do, but they're not worth sending that kind of vile message. Just don't do it. And I don't think as a single listener or watcher on our channel anywhere or on the podcast or on the God is a Geek, anyone that would endorse that sort of behaviour, don't do it. We get it. It sucks.
It's
you want to play
shit.
That game. It is. We want to play that game. I want to play that game. Desperately want to feel that game in my hands. That didn't come out quite as the way I meant it, but I really want to play that game. Know people who work there, good people. Don't be like that. But it has been delayed by 21 days. 3 weeks.
An odd.
The thing that people are angry about
is the fact that like
it's gone gold, and then
yeah,
which makes you wonder about the state of the game on the disc, whereby they are saying there is no way we will allow people to play this game without a day zero patch.
I don't know how true this is, but like I saw an article saying that like it's kind of to blame for the PS4 and Xbox One.
This is what's coming out, yeah, like kind of breaking
and
as we're, yeah.
I'm kind of like, Okay. But like at the end of the day, look, 21 days. It's 21 days, yeah?
Do you think that it will come out on December 10th, I think it is now?
I think it will, because it would be too, like, aside from like the show, what the fuck, it would be too much of a joke. And I mean that like in a friendly manner. I would just be like, why now? Like, what other excuse could honestly be said if they delayed it again, other than if they came up and said, we're delaying it again, here is why, because we want to be in the running for Game of the Years. And like right now, they're going to miss that. They're going to miss that for 2020.
That they are.
Yeah, do you know, so that's the only reason I could be like, if another delay happens, it has to be that reason. And no other reason, because we have a picture of Keanu Reeves holding that disc saying gold. And
I'm just trying to think of the last time a game came out in December that wasn't sent. There's no way they're sending this to die, but I'm trying to remember the last game that was released in December that wasn't kind of forgotten a little bit. I think it's a very strange release date. And
it's incredibly strange.
I think it won't be. I don't think it's going to come out this year. I don't want it to now. No, I'll be honest with you. I don't want it to. I would rather they said, right, look. See, the biggest problem they've got now for me is the game's gone gold, which means there are discs being pressed, which means it will leak. There is nothing they can do to stop. And this, so there's been a lot of talk about crunch with Cyberpunk, right? This is they're going to be in like crunch times 100 now, because they cannot. The longer it takes from the disc going gold to release now, the more chance of the whole game being put on the internet, because people. I mean, like, I was under an embargo that I couldn't publish an unboxing of the Xbox Series X. And I knew this. Meanwhile, someone had got one, I think it was Brazil, I believe, who had unboxed the whole thing, and it was online showing all the packaging, and it was out there before I even had the Series X, I believe, or maybe the nearer. I certainly hadn't had it for long. People illegally often get hold of things they shouldn't have once they are being mass produced, and it's a lot easier for someone to half inch a case with a disc in it than it is a bloody great big console box. This game will be online. It will. The Last of Us was,
that's it, like The Last of Us was, but look,
this is the biggest game of the year, like by a distance. It's been coming for like 10 years. Well, like it is huge. It's will leak.
Would you say that's bigger than Last of Us 2?
Generally? I think generally, yes.
I would definitely have not said that Cyberpunk is the most wanted and most talked about game of this year. I think
I think it is.
Last of Us 2 is still needing to come out, you'd hear more in ways about that. I just feel that people are just like, I've heard so much about Cyberpunk, I've seen so much about Cyberpunk, I just want to play Cyberpunk.
They have maybe overshown their hand. I've seen a bit more of it than I would like. I've tried to avoid it. I would like to have seen less of it going in, knowing I'll play it, you know, in a critical sense. Do you know what I mean?
We've seen so many bumpy roads that they've been on, like, with this release. And
I feel bad for them, I'll say that.
Well, absolutely, like, I do too, but, like, if they delay it again, what other reason can it be? Then we just want to be in the running for Game of the Year.
The way they could spin it positively is say, look, we are not prepared to make our employees work as hard as they'll be required to get this done, so we are going to delay it by another. It's coming in February, and it'll be done when it's done. That's a positive spin.
I'd enjoy playing it more next year at the minute.
I mean, again, we're in a little bit of a weird bubble in that we're playing 10 games. I mean, you know, Chris and I are under ridiculous, probably the most embargoes we've ever been under. Critically, as games media, but as games media, I would prefer this came out next year. As a consumer who just loves games, I would prefer this didn't come out in December because of what I do for a living, meaning I'll be fucked all of December.
Do you know, even if even if I wasn't in the position I'm
yes.
in, I like Watch Dogs. If I was buying games, like if I was, you know, getting going to game or whatever, I would buy Watch Dogs.
Not to interrupt you, Chris, just to say on what Chris has just touched upon there, we are incredibly privileged.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Especially Chris and I, even absolutely. More so than Adam, like incredibly privileged in terms of that. I think I've bought maybe 2 games this year. Very privileged.
Yeah.
Worked very hard for it, but very, very privileged. Something I always feel is very important for God as a Geek people to remember when writing a review, for example. But sorry, Chris, go on.
No, I completely agree. But like, if I was going out buying games, I would be buying Watch Dogs, and then I would just spend all my time on that. Then there was Assassin's Creed. So there's a lot out, like two games, big, huge
Jesus
open
Jesus Christ,
world
Assassin's
games.
Creed's still coming.
Yeah. So I would Jesus be spending Christ. All my time with that. And I wouldn't necessarily be playing Cyberpunk because I'd be too engrossed with that. And if I'm trying to juggle all three, I wouldn't enjoy them as much. Whereas next year, I can't honestly think first quarter of the year is bringing. It makes more sense to do it then. I get why they want to rush it. But honestly, just say, look, we'll release it in February.
But then they've also still got that problem of if they do that, someone will definitely leak the game. Someone will find
it's too
a copy.
Late
so
now,
I don't know what they can do. They're in probably one of the worst positions you could possibly be in. The game's gone gold and they've realised, shit, we're not ready. Yeah. I would assume there are discs. I mean, going gold literally means the master discs, the 1.0 version, have been sent off to be pressed. Yeah. I don't know in that terms of the side of the industry if you can stop that once it's started, how quickly it happens, how long it takes. It's mass production at that point. I would imagine if it's gone off to the factories, but I don't know. I really don't know. I really, really want to play that game. I really want to play that game. Like I've gone so much like that. Like, and I am at fever pitch of just desperate to feel it, because for all the stuff that you don't like or don't like about how it's been handled and what's gone on, this is the company that made The Witcher. And 2 and 3 are two of my favourite games of each of their generations, 2 of the 360 and 3 of the PS4 for me. I really want to play this. And I guess hopefully, fingers crossed.
I think it's going to happen.
Hopefully we'll play it, or do we want them to? I don't know. I forget where we've landed, but we'll see. And you will see lots more on GodIsAGeek.com. There's so many video reviews. I have been capturing footage like a madman of games they're coming. Games are coming. Chris is playing more games. We're both playing Yakuza. I don't know if I can say that. I've fucking said it now. It's out there. It's said. Video games, there are happening. And I mean, if you're watching this, then I'd assume you're paying attention and signed up, and so to speak. But just as a reminder, that patreon.com/godisageek is where we make our money, I suppose, with people supporting us directly like that. You can now do it with pounds as well. And if you want to see more of this, I mean, the camera quality is such that I'm not sure if you can actually see. There you go. You definitely can now. The DualSense, or indeed, you know, the Xbox Series X thing. I mean, it's just an Xbox One controller, but with a different D-pad and a share button there. It's a controller. If you want to see more of that, you can find out there. YouTube.com/GodIsAGeek. At GodIsAGeek on Twitter. You know where we are. Adam and Chris, thank you so much for being here this week.
Thank you.
And everyone else, we will speak to you next week. Make sure, by the way, if you could go to iTunes and give us an old review, 5 stars, that helps. But we will see you next week, or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.